We're starting the third cycle. We go 2 weeks each. And you never get used to doing this. When I was out there in the auditorium, I got used to being out there for 7 years. And I missed being in close quarters. And then we come back to close quarters and share. And you never get used to it. I woke up at 4:30 this morning and got up and started going over the lesson again. And it's something you never get used to. So what I pretend everybody's wearing a football helmet, and we're talking at halftime, and we'll do all right and everything. The thing we was going to talk about today is calm and peace in the storm. And one thing I wanted to say before I forget it, because when time's up, time's up. We won't get to say much to each other. But I hope you have a good 4th of July coming up this week. And I hope it means something to you that the trouble that the country's in now, and it just seems like it's almost like in the Civil War again. We're split right down the middle. And you just need to praise God and thank God for the miracle that we're living here, that we have the freedom that we have. Thank God for veterans that have given their lives and for this country to go to make man free, and God had died to make man holy. So to have a great 4th, and be careful and have a good time. Each time I try to read something that I talked about, this is my Bible. But I want you to pay attention. I'm just going to read it slowly again. You don't have to say anything. But just think about what you're doing. I think about what I'm doing. It said, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. And I believe that. There are things in there that the Bible tells us who we are and what we are. And we need to understand that. I have what it says I have. It tells me that I have hope. It tells me I have faith. And I believe in that. It says I can do what it says I can do. There's a lot of times like this very moment. I'd rather be home someplace than doing what I'm doing right now. But I realize I need to do it. There's some things you just got to do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. Each time we even talk about it, we're two or three are gathered in my name. We're talking about God. And sometimes we don't understand that. I boldly confess my mind is alert. And my heart is receptive. When you go out that door, less than 20-something minutes, and somebody put a gun to your head, what he said, I don't know. Sometimes we need to have your heart receptive of what's going on and what you're hearing, and try to let other things go. I will never be the same. Once you commit yourself, once you are totally committed, and you love the Lord, you'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Calm and peace before the storm. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples, apostles, they lost a lot of their faith. They scattered. And after the resurrection, I saw a phrase in the Bible that I thought I wanted to talk about. They were talking, some of the disciples were talking among themselves, is it true? He'll never come back? And some of them doubted that he would come back alive, that there would never be a resurrection. And these were apostles. The word apostles and the word disciples. Apostle means you were with Jesus. You work with him. And the disciples are people like you and I that are studying and trying to do the best that we possibly can. So they were talking to each other. And they was talking about, is it true that the Lord has risen? And one of them said, he has appeared to Simon. And so in Luke 24:36, it simply says, and that's the text what we're going to be using today. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. And he said to them, peace be with you. Luke 24:36. And that's what we're going to talk about. The stress, horror, an inner conflict we may experience in life causes our peace to disappear, leaving us moody and discontent. That is why we need to develop inner reserves from which to draw strength in difficult situations. When things go wrong and stress starts to overwhelm you, purposely refuse to be swept into the current. Guard against bad temper and irritability. Deliberately choose to remain tranquil by controlling your thoughts. Spend some time in God's presence. Reaffirm your dependence on Him, and soon your spirit will become calm and His peace will refresh you. When you first start off, somebody like me said, just like a kickoff. Right before the kickoff, you're out there on the field, and somebody hollers at your number, we'll tear your head off, and you think, oh, Lord, here comes. But once they go downfield and will make contact, and nuts and bolts and screws fly off the helmet and stuff, like that way, you get hit, you're okay. Once you get up here, you're okay. When you face with difficult situations and problems, do you trust God? Do you really believe it? It's going to happen. The more you read the Bible, the more that you're having fellowship like you're having today, you believe in that. To make everything work together for good. I was talking to someone when I got here this morning about 9:15. Said, how's your foot doing? It hurts. It's still stinging. And he just told me. He said, it's going to take time. It's going to take 5 or 6 more weeks. The wound is healing, but on the outside, he has to cut the callus. And that's what's stinging right now. That hurts. That hurts. And he was told me to lay on my left side, and Joy came there and was holding my head and arm, and he started cutting it, and that was hurting like crazy. He said, Coach, am I hurting you? I said, nah. I felt like screaming like a little girl. There's just some things in life you have to do, and this happens every Monday morning. And having the right relationship with God enhances improvement and thrives. That right relationship. Some of us say we're Christians. Some of us really, really get down and talk about Christians. And that right relationship, if you have that right relationship. And I'm going to say things that's going to make you mad. It's like he's talking to a bunch of football players, or we're going over the film. We show the film and come back and we tell them all the bad things. We correct them Friday night if they won, how good things went. But this right relationship, are you reading your Bible? Are you thinking right? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? And this right here enhances that trust. If God controls the inside, we'll be genuine on the outside. And it's a matter of the heart, our integrity. One thing I've learned, and I've been around a long time, when we moved from Alabama, 1952, from a farm to New Orleans, I thought I had died. And God sent me to hell to be on the streets of New Orleans. I got whipped every day. Everybody had black hair. Everybody was Catholic. I had blonde hair, Pentecostal, and tall. I went barefooted. And I thought God had given up on me. And I had to read the Bible. And somebody questioned me on that and said, well, why you read the Bible? That's the only thing you had. That's the only thing I had to keep my sanity. That God loved me, and some of the best teachers I had was St. Bernard Methodist Church, Miss Dawes, who was the teacher there, and I'm still using the things that she taught me back then. The main thing that the Bible talks about is the matter of the heart, the integrity. When Jesus is talking, and somebody looks at us and asks us questions, it's the heart. The heart is the main thing. The heart will never forsake you. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit depends on the matter of the heart. What kind of heart do you have? Are you compassionate? Do you understand? And somebody says, well, I don't have to read the book every day. Why not? Why not read the book every day? It's so important. This thing that we talk about, the code of conduct, in military, that's one thing you've got to learn right off the bat. Every morning, if they have mustard calls, 5 o'clock in the morning in formation, all present and are accounted for. You've learned discipline. You learn discipline. When I was drafted in 1968, Joe and I came off the honeymoon. We've been going together for 5 years, been engaged for 2 years. My dad gave me a letter, Department of Defense. I was going to be drafted. I went to the draft board and I said, I've got 1 quarter left and I'll graduate from college. You're going. They're losing too many people that are in Chalmette where I went. And so I didn't understand what it was all about. And when I first got there at Fort Jackson, it was a code of conduct that I had to go through. I was fortunate because I was one of the oldest ones. I got to be platoon guy just about everywhere we went. And the thing that we learned, let's know who we are and be able to tell the hope that's within us. That's one thing we always ask a wrestler when he gets here. Who are you? What can you tell me about yourself? And believe in yourself. The integrity. And you can ask yourself, we say it all the time, go to the mirror, shut the bathroom door and look in the mirror and ask that person in the mirror, who am I? What do you think? What do you think about heaven? What do you think about hell? There is a hell and there is a heaven. And sometimes it's important that what we believe in, this fellowship and things that we're supposed to be having, is so crucial. And to tell the hope is within us. And some of you may scorn upon this, but I practice every morning before I get up. I start with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, born in Bethlehem from a virgin birth. He had 33 years of ministry. At 12 years old, he was left behind, and he was talking to all the high priests and all. So I got my story together. I can go all the way through to the crucifixion, to the ascension. I practice that. Well, why do you practice that? Because I meet people. There's a lot of athletes in here that I've had. I have to talk. There's people that come in our house. They have put shotguns to their throat, and then something stopped them. There's people say, I'm leaving. There's people saying, I can't take this anymore. And sometimes you think you got it bad, or your foot's hurting and itching, and you hear some of the things these people have. When they get in a car and leave, you say, God, thank you. Thank you for how you blessed me, how you've been with me. So my point being in that point is, do you have your study? Do you have your testimony? Testimony. To have a testimony, you have to go through a test. And the more tests we go through, I don't know what's going on with this foot right now. I know one thing, it's giving me patience, calmness, and I learned to appreciate my wife a lot more. We've been married going on 52 years now, and we learn through hard notes and hard times, and the same way in athletics. When you get your butt beat, you learn. You learn more in adversity. You learn more in defeat than you do in victory. So God will love you enough, He loves me enough, that He puts me through these tests. And I know I have to be tested. Because if He loves you, there's a reason for everything. The Lord offers His Holy Spirit if we will surrender ourselves to Him. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift. If someone gives us a Christmas present or a birthday present, and it's wrapped up, and in that package is something very helpful for us. And we just set it on the desk and say, well, I'm just going to wait. And you wait, and you wait, and you wait. If you'd only open that gift, the gift is called the Holy Spirit. The gift is called grace. If you learn to open it, to accept that grace, then life will be so much easier on you. You have hope. You have integrity. You have a life. It's important. It's a gift. To everyone whom believes in Him, Jesus offers a life abundance. He wants you to have good things. He wants you to be comfortable. He wants you to have these gifts and stuff like that, a thing of abundance. But sometimes we go through some rough times. You go through some rough times, you learn. You pray to God. You thank God for all the things that you got. But it's important. Remember, He wants to give you abundance. Yet, life battle still confronts us. Things go bad. You ever notice sometimes when you really are studying or you're reading the Bible and you have somebody comes over to see you and you have a good conference with them, things are going good and the washing machine breaks. And then you spill water on a brand new floor. They have to redo it. Then you go outside and get in the car and there's a flat tire. And you'll say, God, what is it? What do you want me to do? What's going on? Don't surrender. Don't surrender. You just fight to find things. It's important that you have that. Life battle goes on, but we are in peace that passeth all understanding. Humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall grant us peace, tranquility, and that abundant living. Reputation can be made in a moment. Character and integrity may take a lifetime. It's important. It's important what we say. Sometime in traffic, and every one of us is in traffic right now, and every one of us have been cut off. So I had it within, I don't want to say it, but sometimes you just feel like taking the steering wheel and breaking it. It's so mad. But you've got to learn to control yourself. It's just that important. There's some crazy people out there, and you need to be alert the whole time, and you need to be in God's hand. Reputation can be made in a moment. If you put that window down and holler, we're number one, somebody sees that. And I'm always talking to you about going to Walmart, because that's where everybody goes. That's the meeting place. It's important. And I always say, take your little cart, your shopping cart, and put it back in a thing. Because somebody is in that parking lot. It got tinted windows. They know who you are. They know that you go to the Fort Payne Family Worship Center, and you take that buggy and just kick it down the road and let it go all the way. Or you do something. You stand there and eat grapes and never buy them. You do things. The people say, well, they go to fellowship. It brings reproach upon us. And when, if I do something like that, I bring reproach upon you. If I go to a football game and I yell at a referee and say things that's bad, I bring reproach upon you. And God tells us, you know, we need to repent on the things like that. Repentance receives grace. Once you repent, once you get the norm, the guts, to say, God, I did wrong. I said something wrong. I did something wrong. I want to repent. I want to confess. For some reason, God wants to hear me and you confess what we did wrong. Amen? He knows it, but He wants to hear it from our tongue. God, I did this wrong. And ask for forgiveness. And get on your knees. That's so important. A man never stands so high as when he gets on his knees and just say, Lord, just me and you. Get away from everybody. Go to your bedroom. Lock the door. Have repentance. Repent. God must see us through the eyes of Jesus. Jesus loves us the way we are. But He's trying to make us, the Bible says, more like Him. See, He loves us the way we are right now. And we used to ask you all the time, are you any better this year? How far have you advanced this year from last year spiritually? And we do it today, starting a year from today. Are you going to be advanced any more than you are now spiritually? What is it that when somebody starts talking to you about Jesus, or somebody talks about you, some of us back off. We don't want to hear it. Sometimes we're in sin that it feels good. And sometimes the devil just lets us get there. And then the devil is not, once you're sinning, the devil is not going to bother you. Have you ever seen people that you know, you're not judging them, but you know they're rotten to the core? They have good cars, big houses. They on vacation 12 months a year. And you think to yourself, well, what is that? Sometimes people forget to repent. People forget who we are. We're special, the Bible says. We're royal blood. The Bible says we're a peculiar group. We are a peculiar group. This is important. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. It's like we're watching football films. And I remember I played for a big high school in New Orleans, and I played defensive end, and they told me that whole week, that they're going to run a tandem on us. That means block a fullback and a guard. And we're what we're supposed to do. Well, I did what we're not supposed to do. I engaged with the tight end, got problems started. And when I went to the point, they ran that film back and forth. Look at Coburn. Look at the mistake he made. Keep running over, back and back, back and forth, back and forth. We can't make those results. It's insanity if you keep thinking, he said, well, I don't understand what you're saying. If I get drunk every Friday night, get in trouble, and I keep doing it. And Monday and Tuesday, I repent. I come stopping. But then I do it Friday, the next Friday. And insanity allows me to deal with that. And shame in the eyes of Jesus. May God continue to help us in our prayer life and communication with the Holy Spirit. And know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Jesus is Lord. You heard that statement? Jesus is Lord. It used to confuse me a lot. They, Lord God, Lord Jesus. What we just said, God has to see me. God has to see you through the eyes of Jesus. My prayer is go to Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord Jesus. I pray to Him so that God can see me through the eyes of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? I had a trouble with that growing up with, but what I'm trying to say is Lord Jesus is Lord. And it's important that we understand that. That's God's Son and He loves us. The sinful mind dismisses God. The sinful mind dismisses God. And then God's counsel, therefore, goes unconsulted. His precious word goes unsolicited. The lack of God's centeredness leads to being self-centered. What do you mean? If you don't read the Bible, you're a Christian. You're a child of God. If you don't read the Bible like you're supposed to, if you don't give like you're supposed to, if you don't love and have compassion like you're supposed to, it causes self-centeredness. And you think more of yourself than you do your spiritual life. We're together. It's like a team. We're staying together. It's important that we understand what we do. It's very important. We are the body of Christ. We are to be the hands, the feet, the eyes, and ears of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is now seated on the right-hand side of God the Father. So it's important to us to be willing, to be a willing vessel. There's things that have to be said. There's people that you can reach I can never reach. And there's people I can reach that you can never reach. But the point is, we go back to the matter of the heart. Matter of the heart. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? It's important that we understand that. Can you look in the mirror and tell yourself who you are? It's understandable. We, the believers, are crowned with grace. Crowned with grace. All the grace of the package that's coming to you is given to you, and love it. Don't live in fear. What I mean by that, I fear God, and I know you fear God. Time coming up. This guy up front has his fingers. Comes up. But what I'm trying to say to you, God will always be with the believers and guide them. And sometimes I don't want you to think, well, he's chewing us out. I'm talking to me. This lesson is for Billy Coburn. And if you fit it, we didn't fit it. But till you get to a point that you can start looking at yourself and understanding things, this is what we're talking about. We need to hang together or we'll hang separately. We need to know that. We need to fellowship. We need to love each other, hug each other, and be a part of it. And then go out in that world that's waiting on us. Thank you for coming. Lord willing, I hope to see you next week. And have a big 4th of July. God bless you.